Today, to kick off 2017, we're going to look at John's Gospel, chapter 14. And I entitled this message, Increasing Our Faith in 2017. Does that sound like a good idea? How important is faith to God? Very important. When Jesus came to earth, over and over, when you read John's Gospel, he kept saying, the Father sent me. Do you believe this? Do you believe the Father sent me? Do you believe what I'm saying to you is the truth? Do you believe these works? If you don't believe these works, or if you don't believe my word, believe the works. So we want to increase our faith. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. And this is from the New International Version. Jesus is speaking, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." Or other translations say, "Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen whom? The Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Amen. Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your Gospels. We thank you that you've recorded what Jesus taught and said and did. And Father, we pray that you would write these words on our hearts this morning. What a promise that we can do the works of Jesus, greater works. It seems impossible to us. Father, I pray you would impart faith to our hearts, that we would believe what your Son says, and we'd be empowered to do his works, and that you'd be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. Now, there are a lot of great things that we could talk about in this passage. We could talk about how Jesus is God who became human. And when you've seen Jesus, who have you seen? You've seen the Father. We could focus on how Jesus said, "I am the way to God. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." That's a really radical thing for him to say. But what I really want to focus on is this idea of believing in God. Trust also in Jesus. And then we jump to verse 12. "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me..." If you have faith in Jesus, raise your hand right now. All right, we have a room full of people who have faith in Jesus. What does he say? He says, "The works that I've been doing, you will do. You'll even do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." How many of you have a hard time believing that? No, you guys don't have a hard time. Wow, I don't even need to preach. You've got the faith. Either that or you're just a little slow because it's New Year's morning, okay? How many people have trouble believing you can do the things Jesus did? Come on, be honest. There we go. Of course we have trouble believing that. We're aware of our human frailty. What did Jesus say gave him the power, or how did Jesus do his works? The Father living in me, and that's the first fill-in. So Jesus is giving his Father the credit. It says, "The Father living in me." Does that give us hope? Yes, it does. That's our second point. Our hope for doing greater works is being filled with the Spirit of Jesus, or having Jesus living in me. If you'll note in verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. What happened when Jesus went back to the Father that's significant for us? He sent the Holy Spirit. So our ability to do the works of Jesus is from the power of the Holy Spirit. I put it this way for number three. God was not banking on your personal abilities when he called you. He didn't look at Ari and say, wow, that guy Ari, he's just got it so together. He would make a great servant in my kingdom. I'll choose him. He didn't say that. Jesus Christ came into the world to save what kind of people? Sinners, okay? People who mess up, people who have troubles. And so what Jesus did was he called 12 ordinary people, uneducated, untrained. They weren't Pharisees. They weren't people who had this big religious education. They were fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary people like you and me. And he taught them, and he rose from the dead, and when he appeared to them, he said, guys, you're going to be my witnesses in the whole world, but there's one thing you need to do. Wait in Jerusalem until you're empowered. Don't go anywhere. Don't try and do this on your own. Amen? So a lot of times for us, we're down on ourselves because we're focused on ourselves. And it's as if Jesus is saying, you know what? You're not a lost cause. All right, turn to your neighbor and tell them that. You're not a lost cause. Tell them Jesus can use you. Jesus can use you. That's what we believe. But you have to have faith for that. If you read the book of John, one time I was reading the book of John and I was seeing how many times the word believe is used by John. John 3:16, whoever believes in him. I've written these things that you may believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that you have eternal life. Somebody guess from John 1 to 14 how many times the word believe is used. 50, 67, good try, go higher. Did somebody say 78? Peace, how did you get that? 78 is the correct answer. Now, that's what I counted. I could have been off, but I just started underlying, believe, and then I went through and I counted 78 times. Do you think Jesus was trying to tell us something? Yeah, believe in me, trust me, have faith in me. Can we do that this new year? All right, good. That was good, Ari. If you didn't hear it on the tape, Ari said, I believe so. Now, I want you to look at the back of your sheet. Our leader for New Frontiers USA, John Lamferman, was at an international conference with apostolic leaders from all around the world. He had the privilege to meet three leaders from China. There's a huge underground church in China, as well as there's a growing public church. They estimate 100 to 120 million people in China are born-again Christians. That's probably like, you know, three times as many born-again Christians as there are in America. You know what I mean? Or maybe not, but I really think there's way more in America, excuse me, in China than there are in America. Now, he said these three leaders represent close to 50 million people. That's how big these underground churches are. They have this huge network across the nation. They told John they have five disciplines that they practice in their church. So I'm going to read those to you. Number one, they memorize scripture every day. Sometimes people are assigned sections of scriptures. One person may memorize John, another James. They never know when there may be no Bibles. So they pass Bibles around and they memorize verses and books. They're pretty serious. Two, they pray each day. They spend a good deal of time in prayer. Three, they share Jesus with someone every day. That's their discipline. We wonder why the church is growing in China. Consider the results if everyone in our churches practice the discipline to share the gospel with one person every day. 4, expect to participate in some miracle every day. Do these guys have faith? Okay, this is why I'm reading this to us. This means they're probably praying for someone's healing or something miraculous every day. 5, rejoice in suffering each day. People suffer in China for being a Christian. You get thrown in jail, you can lose a job, you can get beat up. So they are thankful daily. So John says, as we move into 2017, can we live with similar joy and capture that kind of faith and walking with God? How many of you, when you read those 5 things, say, yes, I can be like that? Okay, Dave Cincy. How many of you read that and you start feeling terrible about yourself? Yeah, that's what happens to most of us. We say, like, wow, I am a pathetic Christian compared to these guys. Well, in some ways, we are a little pathetic compared to them. But that's not my goal. My goal is to say, hey, let's aim higher. Okay, there are people who are laying hold of God in a bigger way than we are. And some of it is out of necessity. You can't survive in the underground church being half-hearted. In America, you can. You can be half-hearted and get along following the Lord. It doesn't mean you don't have a genuine faith. You do. But we're just, it's easy. And so I want us to set some goals for ourselves. And that's why you have a little sheet here, Grace Goals for 2017. I don't want to say you're making a resolution, but there's an old saying, if you aim at nothing, you never miss. So if you don't set some goals for yourself, you don't grow as a believer, just like any other part of life. So these guys have 5 disciplines, they call them. So let's aim for some disciplines for ourselves. So I want to go through these one at a time. 1, memorizing scripture every day. They never know when they won't have a Bible. Well, that's not really an issue for us. However, Psalm 119:11 says, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So what if we set maybe a less ambitious goal, but said, I'm going to memorize a scripture every week. I put scriptures on your outline every week. Memorize one. Push yourself. Don't be lazy. If you hide it in your heart, it will help you not sin. You'll be a stronger Christian. If you hide it in your heart, Jesus said in the parable of the sower, the people who have a good heart and they hold on to his word with perseverance can bear fruit 100 times as much. So there's a good reason to memorize God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing how? By the word of God. So if we're serious about the word of God, our faith will increase. Amen? All right. So 5, did you get that? Hiding God's word in your heart helps you not to sin. 2, they pray every day. David gave us an excellent exhortation about the value of prayer. So all I want to say about prayer today is this. If you want to pray daily, you need to make an appointment. Do you understand what I'm saying by that? I've talked to people for years as a pastor. I say, oh, Dave, I wish I prayed more. I wish I sought the Lord more. I said, when do you have like a daily devotional time? I say, well, I don't really have one. I said, well, that's your problem. We're here because we made an appointment at 10:30 on Sundays. We're going to gather together and praise God and hear his word. And when we keep that appointment, we're blessed. So it's no different on a daily basis. If you want to seek the Lord, you have to decide, I'm going to get up, whatever, 10 or 15 minutes earlier and seek him. You got to make a decision. I'm going to read the Bible on the ride into work, on the T. You make a decision that before I go to bed at night, I'm going to take half an hour to pray to God, whatever it is. But make an appointment, all right? Set a time. Can you do that? That was really unenthusiastic. Can you set a time to seek the Lord every day? Thank you. Help your unbelief. There you go. Okay, 3, share Jesus with someone every day. Wow. That is really radical. What if we just set a goal of, David and I were talking about this. He said, I don't think I can do every day. Do you know what I mean? I don't want you to like run out and grab somebody on the street and say, excuse me, my pastor said I got to tell somebody about Jesus every day, and you're my guy. Although, hey, if you want to do that, go for it. But what about once a week? There's a friend of mine, Catholic believer, runs a little business up in the center of town. During Lent, he said to me, he goes, Dave, instead of fasting during Lent this year, I've decided I'm going to try to talk to one person every day who comes in here about Jesus and just tell them one thing that, like, Jesus has done for me or done for us. I'm like, Johnny, that is awesome. So he just, now he can do that. He's got a business. He, you know, he sees those people every day. So you might not be in that situation where you're encountering all these people every day, but we need to become intentional about sharing our faith with other people. So here's my idea. What if you made a list of your friends, people you know, and you purposed to share your story of how you met Jesus with each of those people between now and Easter? Does that seem doable? Yeah. You know, you just write down half a dozen people, 5 to 10 people. I bet how many of you can think of 5 or 10 people that you haven't told them how you became a Christian? Easy. So I'm working on this myself. What would happen if we all just became intentional and said, like, yeah, I'm going to just start talking to all my friends and tell them how Jesus saved me? And you can introduce it with, like, you know, I realize I've known you all this time and I've never told you the most important thing in my life. And just don't want to hear it. They're your friends. They're not going to ostracize you or stop, you know, relating to you. If you what? Look in the mirror? That doesn't count, no. A year ago, I wrote a gospel letter. I typed it up. I emailed it to all my friends. I'm in a community service group called Kiwanis. We raise money for charities. So I sent it to, I don't know, probably 15 or 20 people. 3 people got back in touch with me. One person said, please don't ever send me a religious note like that again. 2 people said, wow, Dave, that was really great. Thank you so much for sending that letter. I said, oh, now is my job done now that I just got them to read the letter? No. So I made an appointment to get together with them, and I said, why did you like the letter? They gave me their answer. I told them how I became a Christian. One of my friends got really nervous. He was getting convicted, like, oh, I've got to, like, change. I'm like, well, yeah. You know, and it got a little, I said, at the end, I said, are we okay? Like, I know I'm making you a little uncomfortable. He goes, no, it's okay, Dave, it's okay. And the other guy, I shared how I got saved. It just kind of went right over his head. So this year, I gave everybody a booklet, Why Christmas? Nice evangelistic booklet. There's still some on the table. I encourage you to give at least one of those away to people you've been praying for. So I gave each of those guys the Why Christmas booklet. I gave at least a half a dozen more out to other friends because I think they'll read it. Do you see what I'm getting at? It takes work to bring people to faith. And if we're not intentional about it, it just doesn't happen. Are you with me? Is it worth the effort? Okay. So did you get number 6? The key to daily prayer and seeking God is making what? An appointment. Number 7, you must become intentional about sharing Jesus with others. How many of you, when you think about your friends, what you think of is, Dave, they're just not interested? Do you have any friends like that? Yeah, we've all got friends like that. Watchman Nee, a Chinese pastor, said this. The good news of Jesus Christ has the power to create a hunger in the hearer. Did you get that? So you could have someone who's not interested. You tell them your story, and you have planted a seed that can all of a sudden be watered by God, and they start being hungry even though they don't want to be. Somebody say amen. That's what we have to do. That's our job. I believe that. Ari Wertheimer shared his testimony, how a guy came to him at UNH, I believe, one of these, you know, campus crusader navigators, shared the gospel with him, and at the end said, would you like to, you know, to, like, make Jesus Lord of your life? And I was like, no, thanks. Okay, he wasn't interested. But you know what? That stuck with him. So someone has to be bold enough to make that effort, right? Okay. It's our job to make people hungry. On your grace goals, at the bottom, there's a bless, B-L-E-S-S. This is something I learned from a pastor at a conference a year or two ago. I've been pushing it at Abundant Grace. Like, how can I bless people? B is begin with prayer. L is listen. People need to be heard. They want you to understand what's going on in their life. So listen. E, eat with them. Be friendly. S, serve them. S, share your story. That's our goal. Can we do that? I just read Tim Keller's book on working, and he shared a story of a woman who started coming to their church. And he talked to her, and he said, oh, like, why did you come to our church? He said, well, let me tell you. She worked in an office. Her boss was a believer. She did something really stupid, and she was afraid she might actually lose her job. Her boss, when he had to report to the person above him, took the blame and said, oh, well, this was my fault. And so she heard what happened. She, like, knocked on his office door. Can I come in? She said, I've worked here for years. I've had lots of bosses who took credit for things I did right, but I've never had a boss take credit for what I did wrong. He said, well, he goes, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and Jesus took the blame for all my sins. So I wanted to take the blame for your sin. That's radical. But that gets people's attention. Friends, let's be radical. Let's not be afraid to do things that are outside our comfort zone so people know that there is a God. Thank you. If we want a big harvest, what do we have to do? Plant lots of seeds. So we're going to aim for that this year. We have to be intentional. The gospel has a power to create that hunger. The next point on your outline must overcome the spirit of intimidation in Boston. All of us in Boston feel a little bit intimidated because to say what we believe makes us narrow-minded and people can accuse you of being bigoted. None of us wants to be accused of being bigoted. And so that shuts us up. That's the devil's goal. So we need to overcome that. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but he who trusts in the Lord will be exalted. He's contrasting a fear of people and their opinions with what? Trusting, faith in God. So we have to address fear and faith if we're going to grow in this area. So the next point is we need to displace the fear of man, the fear of people's opinions with what? Fear of God. So look with me on your sheet at Matthew 10, verses 28 to 33. Listen to what Jesus said. The setting here is he's saying, look, disciples, a disciple's not above his teacher. If they gave me a hard time, if they persecuted me, they'll do the same to you. He says, however, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. So we see two things here which can feel contradictory for us. We see Jesus saying, fear God. And then he goes on to say, don't be afraid. God's got your back. So let's try and figure out how to put these two things together. Don't fear people. They can kill your body, but they can't kill your soul. Fear God who can destroy both body and soul where? In hell. So we need a proper fear of God. Should you be afraid of going to hell? Yes. You should absolutely fear that. You should fear there's a judgment day when God will judge everyone according to what they've done. He's going to judge the thoughts and intentions of every heart and reward us accordingly. And that is scary. It's supposed to be scary. Jesus said, be afraid of that. My son Peter shared his story how when he was a young boy, how old were you, Peter? When you were kept 12? He said he was awake at night thinking about what hell must be like, and like he couldn't sleep. He was so scared. Now, do you think Ingrid and I were every day saying, Peter, you're going to go to hell if you don't believe in Jesus? We didn't do that to him. But he heard, you know, he heard me preach. He read the Bible on his own. He got the message. Was it good for him to feel that way? Yes, absolutely. We are praying tomorrow that a fear of God would come into our city and that people would turn to Jesus. In the book of Acts, it says in Ephesus, a fear fell on the whole city and the name of Jesus was being magnified. And just multitudes of people came to faith. Now, verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Can we get a hallelujah for that? God cares about you. You're more valuable than sparrows, and he takes good care of them. So here it is. We need to fear God. He's awesome. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He's the judge of the living and the dead. He'll reward every person according to their deeds. He will cast people into hell. That should move us for ourselves and for our friends and people around us. It should move us to reach the ends of the earth. Do not fear. This awesome God is also your heavenly Father. He created you. He sent his Son to save you. You're valuable to him. He wants you to trust him so that he can provide for you just as he does the little birds. You're more important to him than they are. He chose you to be his own son or daughter. He has your back and will never leave you or forsake you. Take courage. Have faith. Friends, when we are filled with the knowledge of how much God cares for us, how valuable we are to him, how significant we are just because we have faith in Jesus, it will give us the power to openly confess him before other people. Amen? And so that's what I want to see in us. Can we aim for that? All right, let's try and wrap up. Did you get the next point? Do not fear because you are what? More valuable than the sparrows. We need to look at the last two points. Expect to participate in some miracle every day. That is a great attitude. I read a story about a man in China and his sister who came to faith. And his sister had, I believe, it's called hemophilia, where if you get cut, you just keep bleeding. And so she'd work out in the field. She didn't have shoes, and her feet would bleed and bleed. She'd have to wrap them with rags. And these Christians were witnessing to her. Maybe they were in one of these churches where you witness to somebody every day. And they kept telling her, if you come to Jesus, he'll heal you. Now, most of us would be a little scared to say that to somebody, but they were just living in this kind of faith. They said, Jesus wants to heal you. So she started attending like their meetings. She had a dream where she was by a lake and Jesus appeared to her. And he told her to put her feet and in the lake, which she did. It was icy cold water. And when she pulled them out, they were healed. She woke up out of the dream, and guess what? She was healed. Hallelujah. I would love for us to cultivate in our churches a sense like God's going to move when we pray for somebody. When we worship together, God's going to move. People are going to get touched. Christians are going to get touched. New people are going to get touched. The Spirit of God inhabits the praises of his people. When we get together, powerful things should happen. when you come up for prayer and the prayer team prays for you, expect something powerful to happen. Expect miracles to happen. So my point is, number 12, we need to cultivate that attitude. That's not natural. What's natural is you come up, if you get prayer and nothing happens, you think, God doesn't want to heal me. So we have to overcome that. And say, like, well, God's word does say that he wants to heal people, and Jesus prayed for people wherever he went, so I'm going to pray for people too because of the word of God. That's what my faith is in, not in my failures. We can cultivate that. Number 5, rejoice in suffering. Be thankful in all situations. Do most of us suffer a lot for being Christians? No. So this doesn't apply to us as much, although some of you do. Some of you suffer. You've been ostracized. You've been marginalized or ignored. God wants you to be so close to him that his love is so real to you that you can give thanks anyways. I will say for us, how many of us ever get frustrated or disappointed? All of us. How about if we make number 5, let's rejoice when we do not get our own way. Yeah, that's a challenge, huh? When you don't get your way, can you just rejoice? Does that sound like a Jesus thing? Is that living Jesus' way, David? Yes, okay, we want to live like Jesus. We can rejoice when we don't get our way. Hallelujah. We're Americans. Have it your way. Have it your way. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce. Do they still do that commercial anymore? That was 20 years ago. I don't watch TV much anymore. But it worked, right? I remember the song. That's Burger King, by the way. So have it your way. You're in America. You deserve to have it your way. So that's what we're told. Fulfillment comes from getting everything that I want. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And America has bought into it. Are you with me? You're looking... Do you believe that's from the pit of hell? Yeah, Jesus said, not my will, thy will be done. There's a man who wrote a book on discipline. I'm forgetting his name right now. He talked about submission. He said, the discipline of submission is freedom from the tyranny to always have to have things your way. That's good. So I want to be that kind of person, and I want you to be that kind of person, because that's the spirit of Jesus. Amen? All right. It's time to break bread together at the Lord's table. We're going to pray for a minute or two. Ed, if we can have a song. I want you to take a minute to pray. Any way that God's speaking to you about having faith, I want you to pray. You need to fill out the sheet. You might not have to fill it out all right now, but start writing down the names of people that God puts on your heart. Friends, people you know, but you've never told them your story. And just purpose, I'm going to do this. I'm going to tell them my story. So, Father, I thank you for everyone paying attention. I thank you, Father, that your word has power. We just come before you humbly, confessing that we need to trust you more. And we want to. Father, I thank you for every brother and sister here. They want to trust you more. So, Father, touch us by your Spirit. Inspire us to put our faith in you and your word. Can we say amen to that? Father, I pray that you would free us from the spirit of fear and intimidation. Father, we ask you to push that out of our hearts by your Spirit and put a proper fear of you in its place, that we would care more about what you think than what people think. Give us that grace this year, we pray. And Father, I pray just for a spirit of faith. I pray you'll inspire us to pray for people who are sick, to pray for people who have needs, that we'd be offering to pray for people. And we'd see that, wow, they're actually blessed by that. Help us to expect bigger things from you because you're a big God this year. And Father, I pray finally that you would give everyone here faith that they're more valuable to you than the sparrows, And that would give them courage that you can use them to confess Jesus to other people. God can use you. Your Heavenly Father can use you. He wants to use you. Father, convince us of that in Jesus' name. Amen.